Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Britt Nix. Britt is a stand-up and sketch comedian living and working in New York. In 2024, both New York Comedy Festival and Knockouts Comedy Festival named her a creator to watch. You can see her performing comedy around the country and at her bi-monthly show at Union Hall called Sunday Sauce. You may have also caught her on the road at Edinburgh Fringe Festival, Asheville Comedy Festival, SF Sketchfest, or opening for Hari Kondabolu on the road. By day, Britt works as an Emmy Award-winning TV and digital producer. When she's not doing all of that, you can find her watching horror movies with her cats, Tony Soprano and Beau. Welcome!
I did not realize how long that bio was. I just took it from my website. I'm so sorry, but
no.
Yay. So happy to be here.
Our book today. Wow. It's actually really good that we both mentioned cats before logging on. Very fitting. Because our book today from 1999, written by Louise Renison, Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. So tell me, what is your story with this book? When did you first read it? Why did you want to come back? Tell me everything.
So it's really funny because when I started rereading it, I was trying to think of like how I got the book. I was a very voracious reader when I was growing up. And I remember just going and walking down the aisles at Barnes and Noble and like trying to find something. And I'm just like, yeah, this was definitely not assigned to me in school. It had to be just one of those times where I was walking up and down and I saw a catchy book cover, which is how I always don't judge a book by its cover. I was always going for ones that looked interesting and cool. And the version of the book that I had, I actually found it like online. It was this really bright pink one. It had like, you know, little cartoon underwear and cats on it and stuff. And I'm sure I just thought that was so interesting looking. And I got it and I could not put the books down. I remember begging my mom to bring me back to Barnes and Noble so I could get the next one and the next one. And there was a period in that timeline where that I was actually waiting for one to come out. It was just such a quintessential coming of age for for a girl in high school.
Yeah.
Book. And I feel like I don't talk to a lot of people who have read it.
I never read it. It's first time.
Yeah.
The film came out when I was young, it was 2008 maybe. And I have to mention just on the side, the film is directed from 2008 by Gurinder Chadha, who is an amazing female director who directed, among many things, Bend It Like Beckham.
Like a quintessential teen movie that you must watch. Yeah.
She is a name we should all be knowing and saying. An incredible director. But that was sort of the only thing that I knew about it. I had never seen the film, but I remembered very clearly in the trailer, they do the scene where she overshaves her eyebrows. And that very much stuck with me. I am a person with larger eyebrows. So that always stayed with me. But that was it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was addicted to these books. I read them over and over again. And now reading the first book as a 34-year-old woman, first of all, did not realize there is some stuff that is problematic and does not hold up.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
I mean, yeah, this book was written in 1999. Also looked it up, and Louise Renison, RIP.
Yeah, 9 years ago. Yeah, 2016.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, she was so important. I mean, you know, her books were so important to me. I don't really know. But anyways, reading it back, I'm just like, oh, I know why I loved these books. I know I loved this book because Georgia was me. I did fine. And I had a group of friends, but I was not the most popular. And I was very weird to boys. I was always very, very goofy. And I feel like that didn't play super well, especially with high school boys, just constantly putting my foot in my mouth or embarrassing myself. Also, as an Italian woman, my God, was I hairy. And like, just the, oh my God, do I have to start wearing thongs? Do I have to shave my legs? Do I have to shave this? Like, just all of it. And being so boy crazy, that was so me, which is also really fun to re-examine as like an openly queer woman now. But it was like, boys were the only thing that mattered. I was so obsessed. I mean, I did well in school. So, you know, I was a little different there, but I was just like, oh my God, I am reading my own 14-year-old self's diary. Like, it just feels so on point.
Wow. Oh, I love that. I love that you read this whole series. Did you also read the spinoff series, which is something about Tallulah?
I did not.
Okay. So there is a spinoff series, and I only point it out because for that, she won the Roald Dahl Funny Prize. And I just needed to say the book title of the first one. The Misadventures of Tallulah Casey, Withering Tights.
Withering, that's so fun to play on. It amazed me. And the reason I even looked her up and then found out that sadly she has passed is because I was like, how did this person write in the voice of a 14-year-old so well? It was like seeing into my own brain. And I'm like, oh my God, she was born in like 59. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just kind of amazed that at the age that she was able to do that and go back into like, okay, what is a teenager mind obsessed with? You know, obviously thinking your parents are the worst and all of those things, your teachers are idiots. I don't know, but so specifically like my experience, which is what is life like for, I think, someone who is kind of awkward and funny. And, you know, she talks about Wet Lindsay, and I feel like I see so many of those girls, and it feels anti-feminist to be like, you know, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just like a do-gooder and kind of by the book. And I think what we would call these days like basic.
Yeah.
But men or boys seemed to love like an uncomplicated, quiet, prim and proper girl. And I was so like abrasive. And so
I love that. I love that phrasing of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And just like, oh yeah, what is it like when you're happy and fine, but you're not like wildly popular and you're just navigating life. And also you have a crazy cat and an insane younger sister. And like, it's so funny though. Like when the book ended, I was like, oh my God. And now I have to go back and I have to read the rest of them because I remember, spoiler alert, the other guys that she ends up, you know, encountering after Robbie, but Robbie's still in the picture. And there's just so many more fun escapades with her and her friends. And oh my God, like the friendship part of it too. Mm-hmm. Like the friends that we have in high school, some people are like remain really close, but just they don't always get you 100%. And the way that Jazz almost goes after Robbie and that feeling of like, you can't claim someone who's never been your boyfriend, but he was mine and things like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, the dynamics of female friendship also just so clear.
Yeah. It's following this girl, Georgia, over the course of the year. It's her diary entries. They're even time stamped, which is
Yes.
so fun because it'll be like 9:15. I hate my life. 9:20. Everything's actually great. He called me. It's such a great element.
It's so real. Like that was me as a teenage girl, just so like my mood could shift on the, just the whim of how whatever boy was I was obsessed with at the moment was showing me attention. For me, it would be like on AIM, like instant messenger. And the way that, oh my gosh, like if you she passes, a boy on the way into school, it would be like, oh my God. And we passed in the hallway and he said, see you later. But what does that mean?
What does that mean? Yes.
Just like poring over every little interaction and what it meant, and like experimenting with makeup and skincare for the first time, and both thinking you're hideously ugly, but also like, but I'm pretty. Why don't boys want to talk to me at the same time? And just that juxtaposition, it's just all stuff I really went through. And I really did not, I will say, like blossom. And I didn't really get attention from boys until like my junior year of high school. And so, yeah, just that feeling of like, why doesn't he like me and things like that? It just, I don't know. It really cuts to the core. I'm like, I know a lot of people read other series like Gossip Girl and stuff like that. Something like Gossip Girl is so fantasy, kind of. It's like most of us did not grow up, outrageously rich on the Upper East Side. And this, even though I didn't grow up in the UK, I was like, oh, this was my exact experience. She lives in the suburbs, she goes to school. And those relationships and her friends and boys are her entire life. And I'm like, that was me.
Yeah, she is like, this is perhaps one of the most deeply real, normal books. Like, even I was thinking about The Click earlier today, which is sort of similar. It comes out, maybe 5 years later, but that's also a book where, like Gossip Girl, they are insanely wealthy, and this is so deep and or so deeply normal, I think. A Angus of the title is her large Scottish, maybe wild cat who's always getting into hijinks. Just I have a little bit of stuff about Louise Renison because she's very interesting. She's from Leeds. At 15, she moves to New Zealand, just like the main character in our book.
Oh my God.
And then I think after a year, she is like so miserable, she gets sent back to grandma
Totally.
in the UK. And then at 17, she gets pregnant and she gives birth to a daughter and gives her up for adoption.
Oh, this
Yes.
is fascinating lore.
And then she returns to the UK, I think at about 20. She decides that her dream is acting. She wants to pursue it. She enrolls in classes. And then her first major success is a one-woman show in the 80s called Stevie Wonder Felt My Face, which she performed at Edinburgh Fringe Festival, just like you. I was so excited to tell you that.
Hey, this rocks. I'm so glad I didn't discover this on my own when I just like went to look up how old she was. Oh my gosh.
And then that got really popular. BBC produced it as a one-off special. And then she writes for Women's Hour on Radio 4. She has a column in a London newspaper. And so Piccadilly Press reads her column and asks her to write a teenage diary book because her writing was, quote, so self-obsessed and so childish. They thought she would be perfect.
I mean, they nailed it. And it's, I mean, I don't know her other writing, but I am just like, yes, the main character energy that every teenager, I think, has the self-absorbed nature. This is the worst thing that has happened to anyone ever on the planet. When anything goes wrong, she just really has a way of writing exactly like a teenage girl. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's even, at least I had an ebook, and there's, 3 or 4 pages of like little questions with Renison at the end, and it is
Oh
identical
yeah.
to how she writes as Georgia. And so I think in this first novel, when she writes it initially, she uses the real names of people she grew up with and
Yeah.
doesn't realize that she needed to change them before they went to the publisher.
Oh my God.
And some of these are like deeply, some of the anecdotes in this are deeply, deeply autobiographical. She really does go to a party dressed as an olive. That was true.
That is incredible. I mean, and now you're reminding me, of course, of the glossary, which was like so much fun to me as a kid, because I was like, oh my God, this is how they talk in England. And like, but it wasn't just a glossary for British, you know, terms. It was and slang or whatever. It was like her own little language. Like, obviously, no one calls, it says, what is it, with knobs or like things like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, like with knobs on. Yeah. Very, very with knobs on or something like that.
Yeah. And like she calls geography joggers or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm not sure if that's even specifically British or just her little isms. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I just remember being in my bedroom with like a flashlight, reading it and laughing. And I don't, it's truly rereading this, I was transported back to being a young girl. It was like really, it was really fun. I wonder when I first picked up the book. It might have been middle school. It might have been earlier than high school, because I know she's 14 in the first book.
Right.
But yeah, I was obsessed.
Yeah. She, I think in writing it, just hung out with 14-year-olds a lot, just talked to them, listened to how they talked, asked them questions. Yeah. And she said that she wanted her books to get girls talking and deciding for themselves what they wanted to do and who they wanted to be, rather than let men decide for them. I thought that was really interesting.
I love that.
The book also, at least in the U.S., can get challenged or banned a lot. Mostly, like, it deals with not necessarily sex, but with kissing. There's some innuendos. But it's mostly because Georgia has a disrespectful attitude towards parents and other authority figures.
That is so funny. They're like, put it on the banned book list. They're going to be disrespectful to their parents. It's wild that that is, but it's true. She is kind of that character. I remember, this is going another direction, but when I was younger, my parents had a discussion of like whether I should be allowed to watch Rugrats because Angelica was such a bad kid. And it feels very reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, yeah, she does not respect her parents at all. It's not unique to me, but yeah, I definitely thought I was smarter than my parents. And I had a very sharp tongue. That is, I never got grounded for, I was like such a good kid. I never got grounded for anything, you know, partying or whatever. It was always because I would talk back to my mom. I was such a so sharp, just so quick-witted, and she hated that.
Yeah, Georgia is so sharp. But there's like one oddly touching moment. Georgia's father moves to New Zealand for work, and at the end, they all have to move to New Zealand, and it leaves you on a cliffhanger. And there's a moment where she's like, how can parents make you want to strangle them and also cry and need a hug all at the same time? That was really sweet.
And it's so real. You're so frustrated with them, but then also, she clearly has a soft spot for her mom and dad, despite how much she detests them or seems to. Another very real thing that I think it addressed that I thought you were going to say with like the banning is she is like very clearly assaulted. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, there's multiple stages of like gray area and discomfort. Yes. I think there's a lot of like in replaying some of girlhood and into your teens and early 20s, you can go back and be like, that wasn't like, maybe a police officer wouldn't classify that as assault, but it certainly felt weird and bad. And maybe that shouldn't have happened. So there's like this weird moment with the cousin early on. And there's a lot of it. And yet the thing that you would be sort of like expect to be the most problematic is she is in love with this 17-year-old, Robbie. And at the end, they almost get together and he says, like, it's weird that I have a crush on you and you're 14. And like, I like you. We can't do this. And that was also very surprising to me.
Very surprising. But yeah, and I think it just, again, to speak to like how well she understands like the 14-year-old mind, it was so brushed over. Like there's, you know, another boy who, I think touches her boob, or was it still her cousin? I don't remember.
No, I think there are three guys she kisses and we have to circle back to this later. There's a boy who like teaches everyone kissing, which must come back to that. And then her first boyfriend is Mark, who just touches her boobs kind of often. Like, there's a scene where he just like kisses her, touches her boob, and then she goes to school. And that's like, that's the walk to school that day.
Yeah. And she's like, well, that was a bit odd, wasn't it? Or yeah. It's like that were, I mean, speaking for myself, that's so many of our first experiences where it's like, well, I didn't explicitly give consent, but I didn't know that consent was a thing. And oh, I guess that just happened. Like it again. Yeah. The thing you said, like, I don't know that a police officer would find this to be wrong, but it's definitely in a gray area where it's not cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, those were like so many of our first experiences as we're just like figuring out what kissing and sex and love and all of that is.
Yeah. And I think Georgia, even she feels odd about it and she expresses that, but she is like, well, I guess that means my boobs are good. Like, I guess that's a good thing. And does try to like, and I think that was something that Renison kind of talked about. She wanted Georgia to be messy and, but also like have a good heart and be, you know, a good sport and really try to have some positivity to her. She's such a fascinating character. And I think very true to a lot of young girls.
Totally. And she's very unapologetic, which I also liked. And I think so many things make us who we are, but I feel like I tried many different times in my life to like fit into some kind of box or, oh, well, boys will like me if I'm this.
Yeah.
And she was just always very herself. Although she does fight against that, like, I want to be liked, so my nose should be smaller and, you know, this and that. And it's like, that is womanhood. That is the struggle between like, what am I doing for the male gaze? What am I doing because I'm just me and this is who I am and whatever. And it's just like a nightmare.
Yeah. One thing that I think as an adult reading it, you're like, don't do that. And as an adult woman, you know that it's absolutely true. There is a day where they pass around a note and they're like, let's rank each other on the goodness of our nose, our eyes, our mouth, our boobs, our all of it. And there's one where it's like 3 1/4 or something for George's nose. And it's all so cruel. And you're like, yeah, I would have done that probably. Yeah.
or even, you know, some of their pranks or things like that, that are a bit cruel to me now. Or, you know, they make fun of their gym teacher for being a lesbian. And I'm just like, well, it was a different time. You know, that's not cool. It was never cool, but you know, just stuff like that. But then I'm like thinking of who I was at that age. And I grew up, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it was, you know, to call something gay. I mean, we all remember Hillary Duff put an end to that, but calling something gay meant bad or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can't judge her. Like, I'm sure I would have been the exact same.
Yeah. I mean, we're both queer women, so I was very interested to see. I mean, because she does, I was looking it up 20 minutes ago, like right before we hopped on. Yeah. On the ebook, the word lesbian is in it 18 times. And I, in reading it, really thought like there was this message coming across of like lesbian equals sex past. And that's not true. Yeah. There's like 2 or 3 times where she's like, my gym teacher is a lesbian and also a pervert. But also a lot of moments of like, well, maybe I'm going to be a lesbian or like, maybe I should try that out. And there's a sleepover where they talk about it. In the sleepover, they're like, well, you can't just try on being a lesbian. And I'm like, actually, you can. That's what I did. One day I was like, what if I'm gay? What if I go to school and I'm like, I'm gay? And then I went to school and I was like, oh, it's true. Girls are gorgeous. It's both, actually. Yeah. There's the whole sort of range for her. But I think it is like in the late 90s and early 2000s, like there was still, unless you realized you were explicitly queer, gayness felt alien. It was like gay people didn't, in the cultural mindset, quite seem human. I remember my best friend in middle school fucking watching Glee. And Chris's character on Darren Criss and Chris Colfer's characters. And she was literally said, I guess gay people are okay. And I was like, you know what? If that does it, you know, I'm happy for you.
If that's what does it.
Oh my God. It's so weird feeling like I came from, like when I talk about how I grew up, sometimes I'm like, was I around in the 50s? Like I'm only, you know, however many years older than some of my peers. And it feels like we had completely different eras. I swear to God, I don't know if there was a single openly out gay person in my grade. Yeah. And I graduated high school in 2009. Many people have come out since then, but mm-hmm. it was just so not a thing. And I try not to focus on like grieving the past that could have been because it's like such a useless thing. Mm-hmm. But I came out late in life.
Yeah.
I did not know that bisexuality was an option. And like, it's so funny. One of the things that some of my family said when I eventually did come out, and I tried to come out so many different ways, and it was just always in passing. Mm-hmm. But it was when I got into my first queer relationship that people were like, oh, okay. But they were very shocked. And everyone mm-hmm. said the same. They're like, but you were so boy crazy. You've always been so mm-hmm. boy crazy. And I'm like, you know, you guys didn't give me that other option. I didn't know. And now I look back and I'm like, oh, I had a crush on her mm-hmm. and whatever. But like, I didn't understand what it was because I wasn't given the language or the tools to know that that was romantic or lustful.
I still so clearly remember that moment of learning about bisexuality and being like, that's an option. That thought exactly. I didn't know that was an option.
I was given, you know, you're either gay or you're straight.
Exactly.
There's no in between. I mean, but before me, it was only straight. Like, you know, there's no options or anything like that. And didn't see anyone with different like gender expression or anything until I was so much older. And I envy kids now who there are still struggles, but it's very much normalized. And like, I have friends who are Gen Z who are like, oh yeah, I came out in high school. I came out in middle school. And I'm like, what? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured out I was queer in 12th grade. And I so clearly realized like, oh, I am not going to tell most people. Yeah. And I only graduated a decade ago. I graduated in 2015. And I remember like being in the back of a car in 2015, hearing my friends go like, that doesn't exist. And I was like, well, you know, I'm too tired actually to have this conversation. And, you know, here we go. It's just going to happen.
There was a big conspiracy theory that bisexuality was not real. I mean, even one of my favorite shows of all time, 30 Rock, like Liz Lemon is like, bisexuality is a thing they invented in, you know, the early 2000s to sell hair products or something, something like that. You know, like it was just treated as such a joke. And I do not mean to say that like, oh, I'm so oppressed. I just mean like, hey, I didn't know it was an option.
Yeah.
And I related so much to being boy crazy like Georgia was, but I think if I was given the option, I probably would have been everything crazy.
Yeah. I think something I appreciated about this book in sort of how it gets into like the nitty gritty of that age and that era is that Georgia continues to ask, how does this work? How do you kiss a boy? How does that happen? How do you, you know, get your mom to let you dye your hair? All of these questions of like, I don't know how to do this, which I felt so much. There's so much here, but she does go to this like boy who teaches how to kiss.
Yeah.
And there's also the prevalence of magazines, which I have been thinking a lot about lately of like teen girls and magazines is a thing
It's so funny you bring that up. I have a stand-up joke about how like Gen Z is sexless and it's because they don't have Cosmo anymore and, you know, things like that. But wow, it was like, on a Friday night, you could find me and a girlfriend in someone's bedroom. We were reading a Cosmo or a 17. We were taking the quizzes. We were reading the sex tips, which I'm also like, I think we were way too young for that. Didn't matter. And then you know what we were doing? She kind of alludes to it because I think she said she tried like making out with a pillow or something. Like, we used to take our stuffed animals and pretend to make out with them to practice for when we would have to do it.
Yeah, she lays on her arm so it
Yes.
goes numb and loses sensation and then like touches it against her breast and she's like, "Well, it doesn't quite feel like someone else is touching it. I don't quite
Yeah.
get it." So yeah, I've been thinking so much about how kids don't have magazines. I think there's a thing about like with the amount of censorship on TikTok, you can't get, it's weird that like someone would be out there giving sex tips to 17-year-olds, but there is a little bit of like you have questions. Like at least a little guide.
You
Yeah.
have questions. Where are you going to find them? We certainly like, and I mean, I don't know if our parents were aware that we were reading Cosmo, but we were, and it was giving us, I mean, arguably insane tips
Yes.
sometimes. They were nutso, but it was like, oh, and do this and do that. And it was like our first introduction besides health class to
Yeah.
what sex was. I have memories of, and this is so embarrassing, but like one time it was like someone was talking about a blowjob at school and I didn't know what that was. And I went home. I still am very, very close to my mom and we have that kind of relationship, but I was like, what's a blowjob? And she was like, so it's oral sex. And I was like, what is that? And then I was like, oh, she's like, what do you think it is? And I was like, oh, it's dirty phone calls. So I'm like, but and then you could crack open a Cosmo and they would kind of anatomically tell you what that is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I guess it's like you have to rely on your friends who have older siblings, pass down the ancient texts. Like,
Yeah, that or like you go online and asking some pretty simple questions, and somehow you end up on like triple X rated porn, and that's not what you needed. You just had some pretty
right.
basic questions,
What do kids do today? Do they go on Reddit? Like, I'm just so not sure where they ask these questions or find out this information. And God, I hope it's not porn because that is so not what sex is all the time.
Yeah. I wanted to know if you had any ideas about how this book shaped your sense of humor as a comedian, but also just like your worldview in general, sense of self, sense of relationships, just sort of how it gets in your mind.
She was so unapologetically herself, and
Yeah.
obviously this sounds really narcissistic, but the way she talks about herself sometimes, she's like, oh, Jazz, you're so lucky to have like the most brilliant, funny friend in the world. And like, I think, I was the, person in my group of friends that like we'd go to the mall, another thing we used to do for fun on a Friday night, and I definitely loved attention and I would like pull my pants down or do something insane or like go talk to like someone, one of the vendors and things like that. I was always doing things for a laugh and I think that it made me like, oh, okay, there are other girls out there like me who are the goofy friend and even though they are boy crazy, they're not really willing to compromise who they are.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my personality has been shaped by being too much. Like my too muchness has turned off many a man. They're interested in what I look like, and then they get to know me and they're like, oh God, that's a lot of stuff. And I'm doing
Yeah.
impressions and I'm, this comedian or whatever. And really just like owning who I am and being like, someone is going to love this, and that's all that matters. The way that, like, she is a nut, and Robbie is like, you're so funny, like, what is wrong with you? And, but he likes it.
Yeah. What's interesting is I think I definitely grew up with this mentality of like, no one's gonna love me. There's never gonna be a boy. And Georgia has this sort of heavy but like accurate to 90s and aughts girlhood of self-loathing. And yet she's got three boys knocking on her door. And she is able, at least with Mark, I don't quite remember about the instructor, but where she's able to say like, oh, I don't like this and I don't want to do it and it's not for me. And I think that is huge because I definitely, when I started getting male attention and being in relationships, it was this mentality of like, I finally tricked someone into it, so we can't let it get away.
Yeah, she really gets at that. I think, yeah, that combination of self-loathing, but also I'm beautiful and perfect and everyone should love me. It's like that is teen girlhood, you vacillate between the two, whether it's, 9:45 and then 9:50 p.m., you are completely different. And I think that was just me, me growing up and into my 20s. And I think it took me a while to really accept like who I was, but I always remembered to go back to that, like, and I hate to call out my mom in this, but I would do weird things or like have a really loud opinion on like, let's say Facebook or something like that. And when I got into my 20s, my mom would be like, I don't think that every guy is gonna really want someone so opinionated and so, loud about politics and things like that. Like guys don't love that. And I remember being like, well, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Someone will, and that's all that matters. I feel like maybe she being Georgia or gave me a bit of my first taste of that, like, oh, I don't need to be a Lindsay to get a guy.
Right. And Lindsay is the girl who her crush is dating, and it's funny that she spends so much time on this, and then Robbie's like, I just don't know how to dump her. I don't like her. I'm just stuck. And that's very, I think that's nice for Louise to do. So then you as a kid can look and be like, oh, maybe that's what's happening here or there with these people. Again, it's like, oh, I didn't know that's an option. But also there's a moment that I really loved where Louise or Georgia asks her mom something about, like, is my nose bad or something? And I don't remember exactly what the mom says, but Georgia's like, no, actually, the correct answer was, Georgia, you're beautiful. That's really kind of empowering.
She's like complaining about this thing that she hates about herself. It's her least favorite feature. And then at the same time, she's like, no, you were supposed to comfort me that it's okay. Unfortunately, is there toxic diet culture like that stuff? There's, I mean,
I don't know if it's diet culture. There's a lot of fat phobia. And this is episode 98 of the podcast. And in of all of the things that all of the books that age poorly, the thing that is most frequently aging poorly is not race, it's not sexuality, it's fat phobia. That is the thing that is most consistent.
wild. That is so interesting. I was like, she's making fun of her like a teacher and things like that. And I mean, again, that is how I grew up. I mean, I had friends who were on Weight Watchers like at 13. Their mothers were putting them on it. I like it's crazy how we escaped alive from the early 2000s. Like the worst thing in the world was to be overweight. Thinness was number one, best thing you could be. It didn't matter. And I mean, God, every one of us, I think, left with some form of disordered eating. Like when we all get around our moms, it's like PTSD. And again, love my mom to death, but she'll be like, yeah, so I had a shrimp for lunch. And I'm like, you need to eat.
I just started working in an office again a couple months ago, and like suddenly everyone is talking about calories. And I was just like,
Oh my God.
you know what? Especially because it does get in your mind. Even if you didn't think about it at all, now I find myself being like, well, I wonder how many calories is in this. It is something so infectious.
It's a nightmare. It is rearing its ugly head again. I fear. What is it? It's all cyclical. Everything comes back around. I mean, certainly the fashion of the early 2000s has come back. It's just so fun to
Certainly.
revisit.
I wonder if there will be a little bit of a what's her last name? Nicholson, of a little bit of a Georgia Nicholson renaissance.
What's funny, I was thinking, like, I'm pretty sure I intend on having children. And as I was reading this, I was like, man, do I give this if I have a teen daughter or son, doesn't really matter. But would I give this to my kid, like as a book series? Because the dream is like, oh, you're gonna pass on all of your media, your music and your movies and your books and stuff like that. And I'm like, I think so. Just I would do the thing that they do sometimes at the beginning of like problematic movies where they're like, this was at the time acceptable. Here's why and why it's not okay anymore. And
A little annotated.
but otherwise it's also so interesting that it does feel kind of timeless, but I wonder if a teen now would read it and be like, well, where are their phones?
Where's the internet? Yeah, I was definitely waiting for there to be texting for most of it, and there isn't.
Yeah, there's absolutely none. And it's funny because it dates me. So again, the shift that happened with like queerness and also with phones. I did get a cell phone when I was in like 8th grade. But that thing was a Nokia brick.
Yeah.
And like it was n you were not texting that way. As we
Yeah.
got older, it increased in frequency, but you were still you could give out your cell phone number, but like your parents were really freaked out about how much data you were using. It was costing a fortune. So when I was reading these books, it was very, I was like, oh yeah, you call someone on their house phone. And
Exactly.
it was very normal to me. And reading it back, I'm like, oh man, that sucks that if someone read this now, they might be confused. They're like, wait, why? They don't have social media, they don't have texting. I mean, and yeah, we didn't have any of that.
Yeah, I've just been thinking a lot about magazines even before this, and I think it's interesting because like magazines were a little bit of social media then, but it is like five magazines putting out ideas, and today it is literally every person on the planet who can put out an
Yeah.
idea.
Do you remember you would like flip through Cosmo or 17 and they'd have like a little quiz with a celebrity and you'd be like, oh my God, their favorite candy is licorice. Wow. And now it's like we know every single thing that a celebrity is thinking because they have social media. It's crazy.
Yeah, I did not do Cosmo, but I did a lot of Tiger Beat and
Yeah,
those.
sure.
And so, like, Joe Jonas could tell you that his favorite candy is licorice, but he would not also have a brand partnership trying to sell you that like he might today. It's just
Wild.
different.
The access that we have to people's thoughts and feelings is wild. I mean, yeah, and even that, like the difference between towards the end of the book, it's like Robbie says he's gonna call her, and then he doesn't call for like days. I'm like, oh my God, like these days, you would have seen him like posting on his story or whatever. It's just like it's just so interesting. It's like the difference between that. And I wonder how it would hold up. I did have a thought as I was reading it. I have opinions on the movie.
Yes.
I haven't watched the movie in a long, long time, but obviously I was really excited when it came out. And I remember being like, oh, the thing that happens with any book, you're like, oh, these people don't look like how I thought they were going to look in my head. And so I felt like Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's now become like a huge movie star, I was like, oh, that's not how I pictured Robbie at all. And it's like, maybe that's because those people were who we were hoping they would, or like my Robbie in my head was like taller and skinnier and more brooding and like whatever was my fantasy. But when I was reading it again this time, I was like, they shouldn't have done a movie. They should have done a series.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many books. Each one is a season. Oh my God. I'm like, do I write it? Like, do can
Well, and I
I?
think the first movie was sold as a combination of the first two books,
Oh,
which is even crazier.
they got to bring it back. And you know what? They could keep it correct for the time period because I'm like, oh, they did Derry Girls, and Derry Girls was like Ireland in the 90s. They could
Yeah.
absolutely do it without the technology, make it a bit of a period piece, and I would be sat.
Yeah. And lots of writers have said, like, writing in worlds without cell phones and social media is like a better experience dramatically.
Sure.
I mean, I was even thinking like there is literally several moments where a boy is like, see you later, and they spend days breaking
Days.
down those lines, and that was so correct. I would like screenshot texts and stare at them. And so I think that like you were saying, there is just more
Yeah.
data to go through that, I mean, things move at a faster pace. Yeah, I would love, because I think then you can get more granular. Like
Yes.
there are
It gives
entries
you a
about like
brush.
the silly thing that, you know, this teacher said in class today, and you know,
Yeah.
we all were laughing at this one joke. I think that was really nice about like the even though like plot wasn't happening, there were classroom scenes about just like giggling
Yes.
and having the giggles. It's nice.
Literally, that is like a whole diary entry is just about a funny thing that happened in school. And I'm like, a movie could never, 90
No.
minutes could never accomplish that. Man, I would have loved to watch that fleshed out as a full series. And so if anyone's listening to this and you beat me to it, please God, make it happen. I would love that. Yeah. And just to, I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but to gush rereading this, my current partner was the first time, I say the first time in my life that I had a real crush that was requited.
Aww.
And reading like how, I don't know, you know, she goes to this party and like the things like hoping he's going to be there. Like, you know, my partner and I, Maddie, like we were in the same comedy circles and it felt very high school when we were courting each other. Like it was very like, oh my God, am I going to run into them at this show and things like that. And then finally getting the guy, like it was just so satisfying. And I never had that in high school. Like the people that I had crushes on didn't have a crush on me back, or, you know, it was not that way. And so like reading the ending where she finally gets to kiss Robbie, I was like, oh my God, I know what that's like now. And it just the like way my last relationship, or my current relationship unfolded felt very, very high school.
It is pure euphoria when she and Robbie kiss, as like, I mean, obviously for her, but as a reader, you're like, ah! And the entry is like all caps, I kissed Robbie. And it feels like that.
You're shocked too, because she's at this concert where, you know, his current girlfriend is, and reading that, it was like drugs. You're like, yes.
Yes. But I was reading this on my phone as an ebook. And so I would be like at that page and I was like, oh, I have to go do something. And I'm like, I need to know why he kissed her. I have to come back.
And it seems crazy to tell you to keep reading truly YA fiction, but I'm like, you should read the rest of the books because it gets crazy.
Yeah. It was nostalgic, but in a way for like missing the little moments of girlhood. Like Jazz has a crush on Tom, who is Robbie's brother and who works at the grocery store. And there's a scene very early on where like the whole friend group plans this like facade of like Jazz is going to go up to Tom and then George is going to come and be like, oh my gosh, I love you. It's so nice to see you. And then more friends are going to pass by so that he thinks she, and it's like so involved. And then they all rush off laughing and like run through the town together that it was like, even though the relationships are a little spiky and a little cruel at times, those like rushes of just when you were a teen, everything feels bigger. And that was just nice to spend time in.
Yeah, everything feels huge. And like, I remember someone being like, oh, and you know, so-and-so has gym this period. And so if you pass by my locker at this time, like you'll, and it was all for glimpses. You would plan your whole day just so that they could see you in like your new outfit, because that was going to change the tide. Like
everything. Yes.
It's like, oh my God, I have a new top from Abercrombie, which has now returned, and he's going to lose his mind. And this is going to be what makes him fall in love with me. So let's coordinate a time for him to see me.
Like there was such drama in high school that I was only outside of, but it was like, and then her best friend is going to talk to the boy and then they're going to become friends so that she can say that this girl is a really, so, and, but then actually they got together instead. And then it like, and it just, there's, it just gets you not, I don't know about dopamine, but it gets you right back into that kind of racing thoughts mindset that's also like deep deliberation.
And I'm like the embarrassment and the game of telephone. And like, I will tell you a quick anecdote about one of my crushes in high school. Delia's was really big back in the day. I was such a Delia's girl and I had all of those graphic t-shirts and I got a graphic t-shirt. It was a recliner. And it said money on my mind, ludicrous, whatever. I thought I was the coolest. And it was like a yellow shirt with the green recliner. And I wore my green Converse. And I just thought I was like the bee's knees. And I got to school that day. And I'm like, I don't even know if I should protect the name of who this is. But let's say Alex. And someone in second period goes, you know, Alex is wearing the boy version of that shirt. And my heart a flutter. I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. I'll have an excuse to talk to him. We're wearing the same shirt. I forget that teenage boys want nothing to do, like to wear a, first of all, a girl that they don't even like, but like to wear a girl's shirt, horrible. So every period I'm getting a new message of like, and Alex knows, and he knows now. You guys are wearing the same shirt. I get to lunch and I'm like so excited. I'm like, now's my big chance. We are going to talk about the shirt. It's going to be huge. He stands up at his lunch table, looks right at me, takes the shirt off, turns it inside out, puts it back on in front of everyone, and sits back down to say, I would never wear the same shirt as you.
Wow.
It was life-ending embarrassment.
That feels straight out of this book. It does, which is, I think, a testament both to that situation and to this novel. She nailed it so much. It is like, obviously, it's a tragedy that she passed, full stop, but also like this deserves to come back. Like you said, like Dairy Girls. I mean, there's so many books. There's the spin-off with her. I think she's described as her more sensitive cousin.
Even though I'm like, I live and die for Georgia, I'm like, you know what? She was probably my Fleabag before Fleabag.
Precisely.
Flawed, but a perfect character that you want to love and love.
Yeah, there's some moment where she's like, I know I'm being mean, but the mean or the crazy thing is out of my mouth before I can even catch it. And New
Oh,
Year's comes, and she wants to be a better person, and she wants to do yoga in the morning, and she makes her coffee with almost only milk
yep, milky coffee.
and milky coffee. It's just like it's a book where the minutia makes it better rather than making it dull, which is so nice. Yeah.
I truly, I'm going home tomorrow night to my childhood home on Long Island, and I know that those books are under my bed, and I am bringing them back to New York with me because I want to read the rest of them. I hope my
Good.
mom has not discarded them, but
Mom.
I know. She'll be so happy that I'm taking things out of my childhood bedroom to get
Wow.
rid of this crap. But yeah,
Oh
I hope they're there.
my gosh, that's so exciting. I loved this book so much more than I thought, and I'm so glad we talked about it because yeah, she just is a character that for some reason I'm like, and maybe it's because the two books both deal with some fat phobia. She is really lingering in my mind with Harriet the Spy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very similar vibe of like, I mean, she's obviously much younger, but yeah, she is not well behaved and she does what she's not supposed to and says and does the wrong thing. And yet you love her, you're obsessed with her.
Yeah. They feel so very pleasantly side by side. And this just book is silly and fun and a great time.
The other comp that I'd probably
Yeah.
have for it is, and it's not a book, but I'm like, you know how it made me feel the way I felt when I watched Pen 15.
Precisely. 100%.
Just a little bit older because they're like, you know, in sixth grade, but Pen 15 was a perfect encapsulation of I was that age at that time. And yeah, made me feel like that, where I was like, oh, wow, like we really don't have any unique experiences. We are all the same. We're all living the same life.
Oh, I love it though. And I love that like books like this allow kids to tentatively explore sexuality without it being, because even though like we were talking about, like Georgia kind of gets assaulted a little bit, but it gives you the space to kind of start to understand it and start to experiment with it, and then have gentle, I mean, it's, I don't know about gentle, but like reminders from Robbie of like, you're 14 and it's okay to be too young for this, you know?
He says, like, I'm going to be 18 soon, and something unfortunately very relevant right now in the United States of like, well, is a 15-year-old a child? It's like, yes.
Yes. Yes, she's a child.
Yes.
Yes, we're recording this on November 20th, 2025. Someone in hindsight will be like, that date's important.
Is very important. Yeah, no, but it totally gets at the same thing over like when I was that age, all I wanted, I prayed for boobs, literally. That's what I was doing in church in a pew. I was praying for breasts. And we're always like so wanting to be like more sexual before. Whereas students, I always caveat, I'm like, this was me, but I wanted to be like a sex pot. Like I wanted a bombshell and way before I was probably ready. And
Yeah, I think a lot about like how badly I wanted affection in some way. And then I'm like, actually, I would not have been capable of handling it. Like things turned out in the right time for me. And thank gosh I wasn't living George's experiences because I would not handle them as well as she does.
oh, Georgia, love
Oh,
her.
Georgia.
The only other book I was gonna maybe suggest for you, I definitely know was already taken, which was like Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Has not been taken. If you ever want to come back, has not been taken.
You're joking. I thought
You'd be
that would be like
surprised.
number one. That was another book I read like so many times, despite not really relating to the main character at all. But this was just the book that I feel like defined my girlhood. And it was so fun to go back to it. And I'm like so grateful that this podcast exists and that you exist for making me do that. I had like the best week reading it.
This podcast has to, and I'm like thinking a lot about, we're crouching or creeping towards the 100. It has been such a wonderful thing and reshaped so much of how I look at myself and the world to let yourself spend time in girlhood, at least for, for me and you, and to spend time with the child that you were and be like, what's going on with you, kid? How are you? How are you showing up here today? And sort of embracing that and letting it come with you, I think is very an interesting exercise and a delightful one. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah. No, it's just like something that I did not know I needed and
Yeah.
was like, wow, that was so fun. And I'm gonna reread the rest of these books because it was also like such a departure from anything like that I'm watching or reading right now and kind of cleansing for the brain.
100%. Absolutely. Like I read this, the episode that I'm editing right now is Flowers in the Attic. And just,
Oh boy.
oh boy. Although like there is something very similar about not the circumstances, but the young women at the center of that, of letting them be prickly and angry and all of those things, which is very nice.
I'm so glad that I made you read The Diary of a Teen Girl.
Yes, and the one I'm reading now is a lesser known Shakespeare play that I love. That's like going to be episode 100. That is, it's called Measure for Measure. It's a lot about sex, but again, like very different. So it's really nice to be on a different end of the British literature spectrum.
Love that. Well, yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for doing this. To answer your question, do you think it's required reading?
Yes.
I do, with the little asterisk that I said before, that like if I ever show these books to my kids, I will say, hey, some of the stuff in here does not hold up, but I still think that it is a very good, realistic look at teen girlhood.
Yeah, I think like add some footnotes, add some post-its to say, here's some things to think about. Play the Hillary Duff commercial for them. She has a new single out, by the way. I have not listened to it, but she has a new single. Let the world know.
So I've heard. We both need to listen to it, but it's crazy. She's coming back.
Good.
For
I was listening
sure.
to her debut album today.
Amazing.
I think go to girlhood. Spend some time in your girlhood, requiring that for everyone, even if you're not a girl. Spend some time and go to
Time
Adelia's
there.
catalog. Yeah, tuck in.
Yes. Love that.
Well, thank you so much. Where would you like to be found if you'd like to be found at all?
Yes, you can find me at Britty Miggs on all platforms, BrittyMiggs, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all the good things.
Hell yeah. Oh my goodness. I love
Bye.
that both you and Louise got to go to Edinburgh Film Festival.
That is so, yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Love that for us. And oh God, thinking of Louise, I'm like, love that lady. Hopefully
Yeah.
she was a good person otherwise, but she was a fantastic author.
Yes. She was, I think, like Georgia, unabashedly herself. And that is a very special thing and a needed thing. Well, thank you again. I'll let you get back to the rest of your night. Thank you so much. And if you ever want to come back, the door is always open.
Well, hey, I mean, Perks of Being a Wallflower, I cannot believe no one took that.
There's so many that weirdly have not been covered.
Was it Holes?
Holes. Yes, Holes was episode 25.
Oh, you
Yeah.
remember.
Yes. It's what, like episode 25, episode 50, some of the
You
big
remember
ones.
this? Okay.
I don't, yes, but I don't remember them. I didn't know when I was recording until I was editing the episode, being like, oh, this is actually episode 25. But yeah, Lewis Sacker, that author who wrote Holes, is surprisingly, he wrote the Wayside School books. He's incredible. He's an incredible guy.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the ones that like stick out for me as like, oh, I reread them a million times, you know, whatever. But well, anyways, yeah, I want to go and look at your catalog of like what other people have taken. I'm so interested.
It's been a wild ride, and it's fun to do the huge ones. Like episode 50 was Huck Finn, which was very interesting to revisit. And there are some that I've never heard of before. Like our very first episode was The Summer I Turned Pretty, which was really fun.
Now it's like this sensation.
Entity. Yeah.
I have not read nor watched, but I hear it's amazing.
I have not been able to watch the show a lot. It's interesting because that was shot in the same place that Welcome to Flatch that I was on was shot, which is very small Wilmington. And also like the crew is the same. So like there was a behind the scenes video from The Summer I Turned Pretty, maybe season 3. And like a PA's back is in it to like tell the lead actress, you got to go back to set. And I was like, that's Lamar. I know that is Lamar. It's so
wild
funny.
Coincidence.
Yeah, they would like they would shoot a season and then we would come and shoot a season.
Yeah.
But and a phenomenon.
Amazing. Can't wait to see who turns this into a series. I need my Angus thongs.
Angus thongs and full frontal snogging. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Let me turn off the recording.
Oh yes.